Man, I don't know about you, brother, but I tell you what. Devil fights and claws and rakes at us, but I'm telling you, when it comes down to it, we all just thank the Lord for how good He's been to us. We could be sitting in a prison cell somewhere, writing letters to somebody, or wishing to God we had our family, or in a drug rehab somewhere, but brother, I'm telling you, we're sitting here saved in our right mind with our families. My family's sitting here this morning. I'm telling you, we got a lot to be thankful for. We'll sing a song this morning. Well, thank you says it best.
As I count my many blessings, Lord, name them one by one, I am amazed. I feel so undeserving of the love You bestow on me each day. My heart is overflowing with many things I wish I could express. Know my gratitude inside I can't describe. Thank you says it best.
Thank you for the price you paid on Calvary for a sinner such as I. Thanks for every time that you spoke peace when my storm was raging high.
Way to say it. That's the best way to say it. Just thank you, Lord. Lord's been good to me, and I know He has you too. Thank God. When you think about all the people in the world that don't have nothing like what we've got, food, houses, love. Lord, we ought to be thanking the Lord this morning. He's been good to us. Seems like we're like our kids sometimes. Seems like the more you do for them, the brattier they get. That's the way we are to the Lord sometimes. The more He blesses us, the meaner we get sometimes. Don't take His blessings for granted, y'all. I go to the hospital and visit people, and these people in there in bad shape, rest homes. God's blessed you, and you able to come to church this morning? Thank Him for it. Thank Him for it. All right. Let's open our Bible this morning to John chapter 6. I want to show you a verse of Scripture here this morning. I've been studying this the last few days and thinking on a little thought here I'd like to give you. And Brother Smokey loaded you up in Sunday school. I guarantee he'll give you something to think about. And John chapter 6 this morning, we'll look at verse 35. This one, Jesus was calling His disciples. He picked this one out, picked that one out, He picked this one out. And every one of them guys done the exact same thing when the Lord touched them. And we see that happening to us. So I want to show you something here. John 6:35. And Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me, when you get saved, shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's a good verse right there. I've claimed that many times. Verse 38. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him hath everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That verse said, everybody that comes to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith gets eternal life just like that. Just like that. Now, salvation is not something that you work into. Salvation is not something that you train into. There are churches this morning that you have to learn a bunch of stuff and go through a course before you can finally become whatever they are. And you're probably worse off than you was. You're a twofold child of hell then. But did you know what? A Christian is born on the spot immediately just like that. So I'm going to preach this morning. I've never used this as a subject, but I'm going to do it this morning called 60 Seconds After Salvation. 60 seconds after salvation. What happens to a person within 60 seconds, actually it's a lot quicker than that, after they're born? You know that doctors say that there's a 50 or 60 changes in a baby in the first few seconds when they're born. I'm sure you ladies are a lot more knowledgeable about this than we are, but they say that a baby goes through like a bunch of changes soon as born. It breathes air instead of living off in water, and it lives on its own instead of living off of its mother. It changes colors and all kind of stuff. Some of them do. I mean, boy, when they're first born, they look rough. All of them. I've heard people say, "Boy, isn't that a cute little thing? His head's swamp-sided and all swiveled up, look like a chigger." But they go through some changes really, really, really fast. And a Christian this morning is the same way. The very second you're born into the family of God, there's some things happen. Now, I'm going to go back this morning and talk about when I got saved. If you come here to church long, you're going to hear me tell about the night I got saved. I got saved when I was 18 years old in April 18th, at Nebo Baptist Church, straight up that road over yonder, up Highway 70. When I got saved, immediately there were some changes. Now, I'm going to talk about that this morning. First thing I want to say is this. 60 seconds after your salvation, you want the whole world to know about it. One of the sure signs that you've really got saved, you immediately want to tell somebody. Now, we tell people now go tell all your family. You don't have to tell somebody that really gets it just right. I'll never forget the night I got saved. You heard my testimony over and over and over, and I keep remembering every detail. I fell down in the floor. It was about right in here.
There's people over there getting saved. There's people over there getting saved. And I fell down like that, and I was bawling my eyes out. And I cried, and I cried. I'm sure probably for 30 minutes. We laid there on the floor. Now, it did not take the Lord 30 minutes to save me. It don't take Him a split second. It took me 30 minutes to puke out all that sin and junk and doubt and unbelief. And I got saved just like that. It don't take me just a second to get saved. Matter of fact, I believe a lot of people say before they ever get to the altar. A lot of it. The second you surrender your will to His, the second you believe on Jesus, I've seen them coming down the aisle. You know, that man's saved before he gets here. You don't get saved by praying. You don't get saved by crying. You get saved the second you trust Christ to be your Savior. I'm glad I'm saved this morning. I'm glad in an old world messed up full of sin, and this old world's gone crazy this morning, I'm glad, thank God, I'm saved, and I know that I am. Washed in the blood of the precious Lamb, through the Father, through the Son, through the Holy Ghost, I'm saved to the uttermost. 60 seconds after I got saved, I wanted the world to know it. You've heard my testimony. I had this girl with me and my cousin with me, and we all went to church that night, and I took her home and I said, let's pray. Now I had a little OMG, had a little stick shift about that high, where you change the gears like that. I still like them little old cars, that little red Miata thing I got. I love change gears in that thing, just like that right there. And you took like that, click, click. And I did this. I had been saved about 2 hours. And before she got out of the car, I looked at her and said, you want to pray? And she said, Lord, something did happen to you, didn't it? I've never done that in my life. I've never prayed in front of nobody. Ever in my... I don't know if I've ever even prayed a real prayer. I would ask God. I knew He was up there somewhere. And I'd say, help us. Help me. Let's win this ball game. Something like that. But I never knew that I could talk to Him. And I put my head down on that little gear shift like that. I'll never forget it. Put my hand down like that, put my head down. I don't know what I said, but I wanted everybody to know what happened to me. I went home that night. My mom had a dish rag wiping the kitchen counters like that right there. And I come in, and there was somebody inside me said, tell her what happened. I ain't kidding you. Somebody said, who said that? There was somebody living in me that wasn't there. I'm not making this up, people. This happened to me. I went home that night. Something said, tell her. I said, Mom, I've been to church. She said, well, son, I'm proud of you. I'm so glad. And I started to go on into my bedroom, and something said, tell her. I said, Mom, I got saved. And when I said that, it was like a dam broke loose in my soul. And she hugged me, and I hugged her. If I'd have knew that song, I'd have sung it to her. All your prayers that you have prayed so long were not in vain. Mama, everything's all right. You boys in. I can go in there and lay down tonight, saved on my way to heaven, washed in the blood. I'm glad, thank God. I mean, the 60 seconds after salvation, you want the whole world to know about it. You know what's good about being a Christian? You don't sign nothing. You don't have to fill out no form. You don't have to go through a convert class. You don't have to be confirmed. You don't have... Listen, the second the Lord saves you, you are confirmed. Right then, you don't need a man's opinion. You don't need a man's approval. I didn't have to ask nobody I got saved. I knew I got saved. How many of you got it like that? Say amen. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You know what I'm talking about. Immediately, I wanted the world to know. The next day, very next day, I went to work and got fired. Me and this boy was sitting down there and we didn't have nothing to do. And the plant manager came by and saw us and fired us. So I went back home and I rode a motorcycle to church that morning. I had a Honda motorcycle I bought off this guy, and I had that little MG, and I wanted a motorcycle. I've always loved them little old cars. I just always have. And I rode that motorcycle to work the next day, and I rode that motorcycle back home, had a little old Honda. I think it was like a 160 or something. We thought that was a big motorcycle back then. And I rode that thing home, parked it in the driveway, and I said, Mom, got fired. I guess I'm going to lay down and sleep a little while, because I got up about 5:30 that morning, and in a few minutes the back door opened and my uncle come in. And I heard him in there. He said, I stopped by, I heard about Danny getting saved. And I was in there, I thought, Lord have mercy. Everybody in Nebo knows it. And sure enough, and I was glad. I was glad. I was actually glad that it was getting around that I'd got saved. So I went to that church that evening, the revival, sat down out there in the store where Linda House Dad's store, my Uncle Jack, run that store, and we sat down in front of that store, and my best friend pulled up. And I sat in there like this. We'd sit on them drink cartons. The way you know you're really an old person is you remember drink cards. Y'all remember them? Cases. They put bottles that was made out of wood, and we sit on them things. You rock back and forth, and we're sitting on them things. My buddy pulled up in a little old yellow Volkswagen. He got out of the car and said, "Hey, y'all ready to go play some ball?" Said, "Kate." I couldn't wait to tell him. He said, "Why not?" Said, "We're going to church tonight." He said, he looked like you'd slapped him with a wet rag. And I said, "Got saved last night." I'm telling you, that boy looked like he'd seen a ghost. His mouth dropped open. Guess what? He went home, got ready, and come that night. He got saved. And the Lord called him to preach. And I'm telling you, it felt so good to say, "I got saved last night. I got saved." Now, don't get me wrong. I was embarrassed. I was ashamed many times. I wasn't no big, bold witness at first. I'll tell you one thing, though. I wanted everybody to know. You know what I did one time? I live up Hoppyton. Some of y'all know where Hoppyton Holler is. And it was dirt road then before they paved it. And somebody, the wind, it come a bad storm, and there's this tree went up like that and bent over the road. And it'd be like about as high as that thing there. Maybe not quite as high as the ceiling, but it was a little skinny tree, and it went like this, and it was bent over the highway. And when I got saved, every time I drove down through there, I thought, I'm still like this. I thought, that'd be a good place for a sign. And I was 18 years old. And I remember thinking, man, that'd be a good place for a sign. So I went and made me a sign, and I think it said Jesus is coming soon or something like that. I didn't know what to put on there. And I had this van, I might have been 19 then, and I sit up on this van, put a ladder on top of it, snuck down there one night, you know, like these guys that go put graffiti on these buildings and stuff. And I sit up on top of that van like that, and I got a ladder, and I hung that sign on that tree. Well, everybody comes up and down my road. I mean, ain't like 15 families live up through there, out my road. Every day they had to drive right underneath that sign, prepare to meet God, Jesus is coming soon. And every time I was so proud of that thing, I thought, I'm being a witness to the community. Hallelujah. Lord, I thought that was important as anything Billy Graham ever done. And I thought, I'm witnessing to everybody in Hoppyton. And brother, I tell you what, brother, then I heard one of my neighbors said, "Danny just put that up there because he knows I don't go to church." That's what one of them said. "I always get back to you, don't I?" And I thought, oh my goodness, they're mad at me already. And my neighbors always used to get mad. They still do every now and then. Since my girls moved out, it ain't near as bad. I used to get phone calls once in a while. "Is this Danny Castle?" "Yes, it is." "Will you tell your daughters to slow down going up this road? They're going to run over my cat." I said, "Which one was it?" "I don't know. They all look just like." I said, "Well, I'll tell him, ma'am." And then Chris had a dog. He had a dog, and I get a phone call about once every while. I said, "Will you tell your daughter to keep this bulldog out of our trash? He's dragging it all over the road because we live all the way at the end of the holler." I'll tell you a story. This ain't a message. One time I told her I was going somewhere, and I told Chris and Corey, I said, "Y'all got all this trash. You get all this trash and take it over yonder where you have to take it, to the dump." And 2 days later, I get a phone call. "Mr. Castle?" "Yes, it is." "You have trash." She took it over there when the dump was closed. Just set it on the outside of the fence, they did. Remember that? Which one of y'all did that? Yeah, they're both pointing at each other. I said, you can't do that. Now, personally, I think everybody ought to do that. If they want to open a dump, I ain't going to say what I think. But anyway, she threw it out there and they called me. They'd picked out my name out of there and said, "You better come over and get this trash." And I was off preaching somewhere and made them go get it. But anyway, my neighbor got mad about that, but I was so thankful. I was so thankful that I was able to be a witness. When you get saved, you want the whole world to know. Amen. Let me say secondly this morning, 60 seconds after salvation, you become a child of God. Have you thought about that lately? 60 seconds after you're saved, you are in God's family. You don't have. I've even had people ask me, and they ask Jesus, same question, "Who give you the authority?" I even believe people ask me, they said, "Now, Danny, where did you go to Bible college?" I said, "Nowhere." They said, "Danny, where did you get your degree?" I said, all I got's a BA degree. They said, what's that, born again? You know, you met y'all them old preachers say that. HG, Holy Ghost, all that, all them old. Boy, they get madder when you even say that. They said, Danny, where did you get your education? I said, camp meetings. And they said, Danny, where'd you learn the Bible? I said, listen to other preachers that know it. And I said, reading it myself. And they said, Danny, where'd you get this? And one man told me one time, he said, well, what makes you, how do you, How can you just preach? I mean, in our church, you have to go through a committee, and you have to be ordained by a certain group, and you have to do that. That's the Lord that one time. That's the Lord. They said, who give you this authority? And they come here. What makes you think, if you don't go through us, you can't be a real preacher? If you're not approved by us, you're not really in the ministry. Ain't you glad we don't have to go to one man on this earth? No pope, no priest, no father on this earth. Brother, I'm telling you, you got a direct hotline to your father. Listen, them three girls sitting over there this morning, they're my daughters. They're up there marrying. We had an office around the corner. We had a big hallway around like this. And my office, people come like y'all do now. They'd knock on the door. Brother Danny, can I talk to you? Brother Danny, can I talk to you? They didn't knock, brother. They just come walking right in, get in my refrigerator and steal my Pepsis. I mean, I'm telling you something, brother. When I want to go see my father, I don't have to get nobody's permission. I don't have to ask. I don't have to fill out an application. I don't even have to call and make an appointment. I'm telling you, brother, I walk in the front door and say, I'm here. I need help in the time of need. And there he is. Ain't you glad of that? Listen, y'all, that's a privilege. You're a child of God 60 seconds after you're saved. Now, there are some that think they've arrived and got it all figured out, and they look at a young Christian like, who do they think they are? They're passing me up. That's right, brother. Them kids will run right into the Father's house and pass them big, giant backsliders up. I'm telling you, listen, ladies and gentlemen, you become a child of God. Let me tell you what happened to me. When I went to church before I got saved, I always felt extremely inferior. Because I was wicked and I thought all them people was perfect. Boy, was I ever in for a shock. I went to church and I thought, look at all these saints of God in here. Man, these people, I had no idea how crazy church people can be. None. And I'll tell you something, brother. I'd walk in there, and I went to church about a year before I got saved, and my hair was real long. I had on blue jeans, and I wore one of these stupid-looking Daniel Boone coats. You remember them coats? We had got fringe hanging down this left. And I bought that thing, something Sears or something, before I had it on sale. It was stupid-looking, but I loved them things. It was suede, and I paid a lot of money and paid for it, and I wore that thing to church. And my hair was real long. Everybody had long hair back then. And I stood up to sit back here like this. I felt so out of place. I felt like everybody in here staring. And these old women look around like, who's that hippie in here? Like that. I was going to say, turn around, you old snob. That's what I wanted to say to them. And the preacher got up. He was about this tall. He did not have one hair on his head. If he had been an inch taller, he'd have been a perfect circle. Round. And he stood up like that, and he jumped around, and I never forget, he said, amen. He didn't say amen, he said, amen. Every minute, amen. Somebody'd sing, he'd say, amen. And I thought, amen, what in a kind of a word is that? And he'd always say that, and he jumped around, and he pointed like that, and I said, he did not have one hair. I had long hair. I thought, he's jealous. Something wrong with him. And he pointed at me and he jumped around and screamed and hollered. He screamed and hollered and screamed and hollered. And I said, Lord, I cannot wait to get out of here. The night I got saved, I sat back there and it was extremely uncomfortable. People were saying, Danny, go get saved. I said, no. This girl I went to school with said, Danny, go get saved. I said, no. And you know what happened? I went down and got saved. And in 60 seconds, I felt just as good as anybody in there. I was on the same level. As a matter of fact, when I stood up, everybody was wiping their eyes and hugging necks. And instead of going back there where I was sitting, I sat right there on the front row. I had never sat on the front row in church in my life unless my mom made me when I was 5 or 6 years old, after she beat me or something. And I never forget, I sat down on the front row, and I wanted to say, bless God, I'm just as good as you is. Amen. I'm one of you now. You're stuck with me. I'm in the family. I'm a child of the King. A child of the King. Now I'm going to tell you something. Every one of these little boys, see these little boys right here? Raise your hand there, boys. See these boys right here? They are just as much important to God as the Pope, as Billy Graham, as anybody else. Listen, there ain't no favorites in God's family. Listen, people, 60 seconds after you're saved, you are as much a part of the family of God as Joel, maybe more. I want to tell you something. You are a part of the family of God. I'm telling you, 60 seconds after salvation, you become a child of God. You know how I know something happened to me? I went to town and bought a Bible. I've been saved about 5 days, and I seen other people carrying their Bible. I said, well, I won't do that. I did not know one verse. I'd heard John 3:16, stuff like that. I went to Roses in Marion. Many of y'all remember the old Roses in Marion. And I said, y'all got Bibles? They pulled me back there, and it had about that big, and it was zipper, kind of, you have a little zipper going around it. And I bought that Bible, and I took it home, paid $6 for it. And I took that Bible home, and I said, I'm just as good as y'all are. Got my Bible. You know, I never even asked what version they had. There wasn't but one in those stores then. Life sure was better back them days. All this progress sure has messed us up, ain't it? There wasn't but one book. There wasn't but one book. You didn't go in there and say, well, here's the NIV and here's the HAB and HIV and RSV and LAP and LDB and all that. Brother, when you asked for a Bible, everybody knew which Bible you was talking about. There wasn't but one. Same one Mamaw and Papaw and all them read, brought them through the hard time. I got me a Bible. And I took it home and I read it and I read it. You know what I done? We called the preacher Hollifield, there in Nebo. And he was preaching revival up in the mountains. And me and we wanted to go with him. Now listen, you got to understand, I didn't go to church at all. You don't just say, well, I'm just going to go Sunday mornings and visit until I get into this Christianity. We got in full-fledged Sunday morning, Sunday night. Called the preacher and went to revival with him. Listen, brother, when you're 19 years old, and you call the old pastor and want to go to a revival meeting, something happened to you. Something happened to you. Something has happened to you. I'm telling you, we did. We said, preacher, can we go with you? He said, yeah, boys, come on. He went up there in Burnsville somewhere, and he preached the revival. And Ed McAbee was preaching revival in Old Fort. We went every night. Every night. Drove up there and said, we wouldn't do that before. I'm telling you that 60 seconds after you're saved, everything changes just like that. Now, I'm not trying to make you feel bad or feel like you're not saved if you didn't do all this stuff. I'm just saying there's some changes big time. 60 seconds after you get saved, you become a new creature. 60 seconds after you're saved, you become a saint. You don't get sainthood after you're dead. You are a saint the second you're saved. The Apostle Paul wrote to the saints which are at Philippi. To the saints which are... First time somebody told me that, they said, I've heard people say, I ain't no saint. I am. If you're saved, you're a saint in Bible language. Saint Jeremy. Saint Joe. Saint Desi. Sounds like the name of a Catholic church. It's just the Desi of the Assisi's or something. Saint Desi is here this morning. You say, Brother Danny, listen, the way the Lord sees us this morning, we're saints of God, people. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I like that, devil. I like that world. Listen, the world sees our fault. The world sees our failure. But when the Lord sees it, that's a bunch of saints down there. That shining light, we're saints of God. Woo! Glory to God, that's good. Amen. Saint Ray. Amen. I won't say this, I gotta hurry, I'll be through. 60 seconds after you're saved, you have eternal life. Live forever, million years from now, check back with me. I'll be fine. 10 million. We was talking about Patsy the other day. And we was talking about how much suffering she went through and everything. And I told Heather, I said, you know what? I know you miss your mama, but she's a lot better off than we are. Somebody figured up heaven. You know where we're going to live? We're going to live in heaven. You know how big heaven is? It's 1,500 miles. City, it'd take up a fourth of the United States. From New York almost to Florida, and then out toward Texas, and then back up. Every Christian, somebody figured it out, there are 743,759,000,000 gigantic rooms of solid gold. If every Christian, if everybody that ever lived in the world was saved, there would be tons of room for everybody in God's city. 60 seconds after you're saved, you got one of them mansions reserved for you. Have you ever thought about what God did for you when He... See, I didn't even know none of this when I got saved. It's just like your first birth. There's a lot happened you don't know about and still don't know all of it. When you got saved, there's a lot happened you didn't realize then and you still don't know what all He done for you when He got saved. I'll say this and I'm going to be done. 60 seconds after you die, where will you be? You're here this morning? I'm going to ask you a question. 60 seconds after you die, you don't wait till judgment day and then be resurrected and go to heaven or hell. You're in heaven or hell 60 seconds, or a lot less. The Bible said in Luke chapter 16, there was a man died, and the Bible said in hell, he lifted up his eyes immediately. His body was in the grave, but his soul was in hell. 60 seconds after you leave this world, where will you be? Now, I'm going to say this and I'm through. There ain't no purgatory. Purgatory, purge. Purge means you go there and have your sins all, somehow get them all done, and then you graduate up to heaven. The Bible don't even say nothing like that. It's heaven or hell. And everybody in this room will be in one of them two places in less than 60 seconds when you die. 60 seconds after salvation. You're here this morning. You don't know for a fact where you're going when you leave this world. Let's get it settled today. They're coming to get us a song. Why don't you stand with your heads bowed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head